Good morning. Yeah, it's heavy. It's you know, the death of Buddy hit many of us. He was a dear friend. He was a mentor. He was a father figure. My dad passed away 2 years ago, September 4th, and that was my kid's last grandfather. And Buddy and Jennifer just really have really served and filled in that role for our family as just patriarch and matriarch. And so it was hard, but like Matt said last week, we don't mourn like those who have no hope, because we have a firm hope, a secure hope. How many of you guys were here yesterday to celebrate Buddy's life? Yeah, when we celebrated it, right? And someone said earlier it was the most joy-filled celebration of life they'd ever been to. So mission accomplished, Zip family. I know that was your vision. That was your desire, and Jennifer, I hope you just feel the love and the honor that your husband deserves. So, when someone dies that's special like that, it makes us take stock of our lives, doesn't it? I mean, when a mentor, someone that's really been your lodestar, someone that you've really been following and seeking to emulate, when a person like that in your life dies, it leaves a vacuum and a hole. And for me personally, it's made me really just take stock of my life and evaluate my life in the shadow of a man like Buddy, and who's ultimately, you know, we're all following Jesus, but that's what leadership in the body of Christ, it's all about. I mean, people lead, men lead, and others follow. And it just, as I was thinking about Buddy's life, and as I was thinking about my own life, and Paul, when you mentioned roads yesterday, God gave a couple of really powerful little winks at me yesterday, because I told Matt, I was like, well, I can preach on Sunday, but I can't preach Daniel on Sunday, because it's Wednesday. So I need to preach something that I'm familiar with. And so what you're going to see today, God really gave me over the last couple of months through my journey with regeneration. And I'm going to talk about regeneration a little bit. But very specifically, there's two things that the Lord just really put on my heart that before I get into the meat of what we're going to be talking about this morning. When Buddy came home from Ireland, he really went downhill. I mean, it was a gift of God that he was able to go for 2 weeks to kind of check that last bucket item list off with his good friends Ann and Pat, and it was miraculous. I mean, he did that trip, and they did it well, but when he came home, he really declined, and he was hospitalized, and one night, just Jennifer needed a break, clearly, and so I just went up, and I got the privilege to just spend the night with Buddy in the hospital, and he woke up at about 2 in the morning, just a little bit disoriented, and trying to get out of bed, and so I just kind of helped him wake up, and we just got to have a little bit of time just together. And one thing about Buddy is that he was an intercessor. He was a prayer warrior. So in his weakened state, in his sort of groggy, highly medicated state, when we were up together at 2 in the morning in the hospital, he wanted to pray. And specifically, he prayed about two things. He prayed for the debt of the church, and he prayed for this church family, of which he was a father and a shepherd and an elder. And it just is a privilege to be, because I'm God has placed intercession on Leslie and I's heart, and we've been praying with a small cohort of people on Sunday mornings for this church. God is raising, God has used Buddy and Jennifer as leaders to really raise the awareness of the power of prayer. And specifically that night in the hospital, he prayed for the dead. And the Lord just put it on my heart, just to honor Buddy and to be obedient to Jesus. That debt is something that God has really put on the hearts of our leaders, our elders, to be paid off. And we're praying. We've been praying, and Buddy has been praying fervently for that. And I just want to, in honor of Buddy, just stand before you today and ask you to pray what the Lord would have you give specifically for the paying off of the debt, above and beyond what you just gave even. It's year-end giving, and I just think it's a good time to make that call. And Matt, I hope that's okay. I didn't run it by you, but the Lord just put it on my heart, so I'm going to obey Jesus. And that was important to Buddy, okay? So that's one thing. Second thing is prayer. There's a prayer gap in the life of our church, because Buddy prayed a lot for this church. I want to call out the intercessors that are among you, because no church will go beyond the ability of its people to pray. And that was Buddy's passion. And I got to serve alongside Buddy in the ministry of prayer for this church. And so I just want to put those two things before you to ask you to prayerfully consider what can you give. And some of you are really gifted in the spiritual gifting and anointing of intercessory prayer. If that's you, would you come and find me or Leslie? Because we really want to invite you. And even if you don't have that gifting, but the Holy Spirit puts on your heart now to pray regularly, would you just let us know? Because we're calling out the intercessors for this next season of the life of our church. Yep. Oh, kids, you can go. See, I always judge Matt when he does that. It's like, man, what a rookie. He's still got a long way to go. So I was thinking about the paths of life. And Paul yesterday, Buddy's son Paul, talked about that. He talked about the intersections of life. And Buddy had many intersections with virtually probably everyone in here. And I was already thinking about this when Matt asked me to speak. This context and this text that we're going to be looking at, and particularly this picture, just came into my mind. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is the path of life. Because the reality is, for each of us, life is full of a lot of splits in the road, isn't it? A lot of points of decision that we come up to. And there's only two choices. There's good choices, there's bad choices. There's dark choices, there's light choices. And ultimately, there's choices that lead to life and choices that lead to death. Jesus talked about this. He said, choose the narrow road and the narrow gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. There's those paths that are available to each of us, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Those are the words of Jesus, and it's just this picture. Buddy, the stories were told of Buddy yesterday, of a man that was transformed and sanctified by the power of God and the Word of God over many years. And as I'm thinking about my life and the life of our church, and what God would have me bring to you today, there was a powerful song that was mentioned yesterday, Rise Up, O Mighty Men. It was one of Buddy's favorites. And actually, the story was told of by Chief David Schroat, that the first Sunday that we opened up this new building in 1986, Buddy and David sang this song right up on this stage, and it struck me. Listen to the words of the first and the last stanza of this. Rise up, O mighty men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. In order for men to rise up, we need men that are going to take the narrow road. Not the road that leads to death and destruction, but the road that leads to life. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. A couple months ago, in our regeneration work that we're doing, and I'll talk a little bit more about the ministry of regeneration, because I believe I'm praying that God's going to use this to put this path in front of some of you. But this verse, Psalm 16:11, came up, and it really just struck me. And it says this: You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That phrase, path of life, just jumped off the page to me with the work that God was having me do in my own heart to just dig into the areas that he's asking me to walk through. And I started thinking and meditating and praying, Lord, path of life, wow. Path of life, I want to be on that path. And I started to just ask the Lord and go before the Lord in meditation and say, Lord, would you reveal to me the path of life? Now, I know Jesus is the way and the truth of life. So we know that, like, the big answer, Jesus is the path of life. And he offers a door to life for everyone. But I started to wonder if there was any more nuances to that. And I was just thinking about that over a period of about a week. And then lo and behold, some days later, as I'm meditating on path of life, I come across Psalm 103, verse 2 through 5. And the Holy Spirit just opened up my heart and my mind, and I said, that's the path of life. And here's basically how it went down. This is the literal page of my Bible. I come across Psalm 103, and I'm reading it, and I see these five words: forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies. In my Bible, there was no underlines or boxes when I read this, but all those words just lined up to me. Have you ever had that experience where literally words of a page just jump off to you? For, you know, because of the Holy Spirit or the formatting or whatever. I had this experience and I saw those words and I just stood there. I read this passage over and over and I'm sitting there staring at forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, and satisfies. And it just popped into my brain. This is the path of life. This is the path of life. I mean, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? And who satisfies you with good? I submit to you, brothers and sisters, Midlothian Bible Church, that this is a path to life. When you look at the works of a sovereign, almighty God who did these miraculous actions on our behalf and the resulting benefits that are accrued to us because he forgives, because he heals, because he redeems and crowns and satisfies, this is the path of life. And this is the passage that we're going to study. And just these five powerful words and what they mean for us and the applications for our lives, I pray that the Holy Spirit will seal it and give all of us a renewed vision of how we should walk through the paths of our life. Because when a saint passes, we all need to stop and pause and be reminded that we are not guaranteed tomorrow. Every one of our days is numbered in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we don't know when that last day is going to come. And we only get one life to live on this planet. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to live this life well. And I believe that Psalm 103 gives us a path to life. And so we're gonna look at these five words and what they mean for us. I'm going to say something that's going to be a little bit rudimentary, a little bit obvious. I'm going to be Captain Obvious here. But when we look at how he forgives all of our sins, don't gloss over this. Now, I know that I'm dealing with a lot of long-tenured church people, many graduates of the Awana ministry, and even some of you that grew up even Baptist. So I know that what I'm about to say to you is very, very, like basic, but don't skip over this reality that he forgives all of our sins, and don't miss the layers of the awesomeness of the reality that he takes broken people like you and me and forgives them, okay? And here it is. Sin equals brokenness. It's pretty basic, right? Think about anything that's broken in your life. Think about any relationship that's broken. Think about any perpetual pattern of sin that's causing the chaos in your life or relationships. Think about anything that's broken in your life, and it goes, the root of that brokenness goes back to sin. Sin equals brokenness. And this is the mess that God stepped into at a time when we were still powerless. God dealt with the issue of our curse of sin. And so I want to just zoom into this. And to do that, though, we have to look at the whole redemptive narrative. Literally, we have to go back to the beginning, Genesis 1. God made the world and everything in it. And in the beginning, as he created it, he looked across all of it, and he said, "Wow, that's good." And it was good. Because it was perfect. There was no sin. There was no brokenness in the world that God created. And that lasted for exactly two chapters. Because then by the time we get to Genesis 3, Satan shows up. He tempts Eve. He lies to her and said, "Did God really say not to do that one thing that he told you not to do?" And he tempted her and he lied to her. He deceived her and she ate. And you know what happened after that. It all goes wrong. Sin enters the world. The created order literally was shattered and broken. And it goes from being a world that is good to being a world that is marked by a bondage to decay. Death entered. And most shockingly of all, separation from God enters. And then the very first time after sin occurs, God enters the garden. He's looking for Adam and Eve. And look at what they did. They hid from the Lord God. Let that sink in. They had perfect freedom, perfect fellowship. They walked with him. They talked with him. He ministered to them face to face as his creation. But sin enters the picture and they hid from the Lord. And in this moment, three powerful words of destruction enter in the human experience that mark all of us, from Adam and Eve all the way to us, and until Jesus comes back. The big three is what I call them, are a big part of our reality. Guilt, fear, and shame. And again, I go back to anything that's broken in your life, anything that's wrong in your life or in the world, you trace those roots back and you're going to see sin, but you're going to see the fruit of sin manifested in these three powerful words and realities, guilt, fear, and shame. And in order for in Psalm 103, for David to be, to, for it to be revealed to the Holy Spirit that God will come in and forgive all of our sins, sin has to be dealt with. And look at, and the way that God chose to deal with sin is breathtaking. It's so powerful. Because we're stained by sin. We're marked by sin. He sent his own son, Jesus, who had no sin, who knew no sin. And Jesus actually became and took upon himself all of our sin. And he died on a cross. Romans 4, 25, excuse me, through 5:2 gives us a great revelation about what the lengths that God went to and specifically what he did to defeat the power of guilt, fear, and shame. And primarily, the big idea here is justification, because we were guilty. Guilty is anything. And Jesus came into a world that was a slave to sin. That's what it talks about in Romans 6. It says we are born as slaves to sin. And Jesus came and he broke the power of that sin, and he did it by dying on a cross so that he could justify us. The substitution that Jesus made on the cross was good enough, powerful enough, and effective to cancel out the debt of sin that all of us owe, that all of humanity owes. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The word justification literally means it's a legal term that says to declare one righteous. And the only way that could happen is because Jesus paid the price that we could never pay. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Guilt, fear, and shame have the power to dominate your life. The path of life starts with the reality that the power of guilt, fear, and shame has been broken in Jesus Christ. Guilt was dealt with by justification. You're not guilty. You're innocent. So stop hiding. Fear is dealt with. We this instinctive desire that we have to not want to stand in the presence of a holy God because of our sin, our darkness, our disobedience, that's real. I get it. But fear has been dealt with because Jesus came and justified us. We have peace with God. And shame, just that feeling of dirty, despicable blackness that we can carry in ourselves because of our own choices and our own action, shame has been dealt with by access. Because Jesus opened up a door for us, according to Hebrews 10. And Jesus, a new and living way that is opened to us through the blood of the Lamb and his body, that is a door through which we can gain access into the very of holy holies, because we are forgiven, we are justified, and we have peace with God, and we also have access. So when it says that he forgives all of our sins, don't gloss over that. People, your sins are forgiven. And those of you that are living in patterns, persistent patterns of guilt and fear and shame, there's good news for you this morning. This is the path of life for you. You don't need to hide from God. You can come right into his presence. You can crawl up in his lap. He's waiting with his arms open to accept you. That's because he forgives all of our sins. He heals all your diseases. Now, this is ironic. The day after we celebrated the life of a dear friend who died with one of the more aggressive and heinous forms of cancer. But the reason we mourn as people who have hope is because this is a promise that will be fulfilled one day, but it's not yet. I love what Warren Wiersbe says about this. He says, God is able to heal every disease, but he's not obligated to do so. That's interesting. Paul was not able to heal two of his friends. And David's own baby son died in spite of his fasting and praying. The believer's body will not be completely delivered from the weakness and disease until it is redeemed and glorified at the return of Jesus Christ. The reason we were able to celebrate yesterday the life of a faithful man is because he's done with that broken body. Amen? And those of you that are suffering with sickness, death may be the end of you in this life, but death is a door to freedom from death in the life to come and for all of eternity, as long as you walk through that door, which is Jesus Christ. The path of life runs right through the cross, people. He will heal all our diseases. We get a powerful glimpse of this reality. The Apostle John, approximately 90 AD, got this vision, this revelation directly from Jesus. And he writes this down for us in our book of Revelation. In chapter 21, verses 3 through 5, listen to this and get excited, get pumped about what's waiting for all of us one day when Jesus comes back and fulfills all of this and says, it is finished. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. Amen. Or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And folks, you need to believe that. That's how you mourn like those who have hope. If you don't really believe this, if you don't really get this, death will rock you. Cancer will rock you. It will take away your hope. It will take away your joy, and it will make you miserable. That's why God gave us these promises. And the path of life, part of the path of life is that he forgives our sins and he heals all of our diseases. Now, the biggest disease, mind you, that we face is not cancer. The biggest disease we face is actually sin. Because you can be perfectly healthy physically and be absolutely miserable emotionally and spiritually. That's why he has to deal with sin first, but he also makes us these promises that one day I'm going to heal everything. I'm going to heal every disease. I'm going to wipe away every tear because I'm going to heal your diseases. So God forgives our sins. God heals our diseases. God redeems your life from the pit. I love this. This is part of my regeneration journey. I look pretty good up here, don't I? I wipe my boots off a little bit. I got dressed up. I usually am the guy over here in shorts, but I look pretty good, right? Well, don't let my looks deceive you. I'm sorry, Kim. I want you to know that I need my life to be redeemed from a pit. And I want you to know that you do too. That's why I'm in regeneration. Because there's some pits in my life. There's some hiding places. There's some strongholds. There's some places dark places where I can go and hide. And so do you. In our fallen state, we all seek ways to fix the brokenness that we struggle with, right? I'm not alone here. We all develop hiding places and dysfunctional coping strategies in order to address our dysfunctional situations. These hiding places and coping strategies only make things worse for us, and we find ourselves in life in pits, deep places. Places where you can't see the horizon anymore because you're down in a pit. Your vision is very narrow because you're in a pit. You're dealing with just these consequences and circumstances of places, situations that you made for yourself. But because we live in a broken and fallen world, some of you are dealing with pits because of hurts and wounds that others have done to you that were completely against your will. But nonetheless, we all find ourselves in pits. And the Lord wants you to know this morning that he has the power to redeem your life from that pit. And he does it through redemption. This word redemption is very, very powerful. Here's a definition that I really like. It just makes sense to me. He redeems us from a pit by delivering us from the power of an alien dominion and enjoyment of the resulting freedom. Let me stop there. Alien dominion, what's that? Is this like X-Files? No. The god of this world is Satan. And in this broken, fallen world, God gave Satan a limited amount of authority to wreak havoc and destruction. And he torments us, specifically those that are apart from Jesus. Like the thief comes to kill only to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's that killing, stealing, and destruction that creates these circumstances where people, their entire lives, fall into pits. Because there is an alien dominion. the dominion mandate that God set up in the beginning, where he said, he made Adam and Eve and said, you're going to be my representatives. I want you to rule and take dominion over all this earth. I'm giving it to you. Rule it and subdue it. They chose a different path. They disobeyed God, and a new world order came on the scene. God gave Adam and Eve all of his authority, but then he took it back in a sense, because the world from that point on was cursed, and we still live. That the power of that curse still exists in the world today. There is darkness in the world. But praise God, Jesus himself came to destroy the dominion and the domain of darkness. And so whenever anyone comes out of darkness, they leave the darkness and they come into the light. And who is the light? Jesus. And a light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. The light of God came down from heaven and made his dwelling among us. That's what we're going to celebrate here in a few weeks. And the reality of that light destroys the dominion so that God can redeem us. He can rescue. He can deliver. And we can enjoy freedom. Galatians 5:1, it's for freedom that Christ Jesus set us free. He does not want us to stay in these pits that we create for ourselves. In its original sense and in its biblical use, redemption is intimately associated with the ideas of ransom and substitution. If you want to know the truth, we actually deserve pits. If you think about it, think about your cave. Think about your hiding place. Think about the dysfunctional things that you do that you know are wrong, that you know won't make you feel actually better. Some of you, it's relationships. Some of you, it's the substance. It's alcohol, drugs. Some of you, it's material things. You think, if I can just buy enough and have a nice enough house, it's going to fix everything. Some of us, God forbid, it's our kids. We pull out of healthy community, healthy relationship, because our entire life consists of following our kids around, fulfilling their sports ambitions, their academic ambitions. And it can be a pit, people. It can be a hiding place. There's nothing that we can do to fix ourselves. There's nothing that we can do to pull ourselves out of the pits that we find ourselves in. Jesus, however, came to bring freedom, and he can redeem our life from the pits because he redeems our entire lives. He took our place. The death that we deserve, he took upon himself. This is all about the gospel. And so because of what Jesus has done, he can redeem our life from the pit. Guys, that's what regeneration is really all about. I'm in regeneration. I've been a pastor. My last church, I served as an elder. I mean, by external patterns of the world, many people will look at me and say, that guy's got it all together, but I just want you to know, I just don't. And God just really showed me in this season of my life, the death of my dad really just stirred up some deep things that I really wasn't even honestly anticipating, things that I've hid from, things that I've never really dealt with. So I'm in regeneration. Step one, it's a 12-step program. It's very simple. It's a lot like, what's the recovery ministry? Celebrate Recovery. It's got a lot of these same ideas, but I just love the simplicity of this. Look at step one. In order for our lives to be redeemed from a pit, we first have to admit. We admit that we're powerless over our addictions. Several of my region brothers are in here. And every week we just get together and we start with this. Like, I can't do it on my own, guys. It's a very powerful thing. It's simple, but it's powerful. We admit that we're powerless over our addictions, brokenness, and sinful patterns. Like the pits that we're in, we're powerless to get out of them on our own. Step two is we just believe. Because how God redeems us is he says, you don't have to do this on your own. As a fact, you have very little to do with it other than to believe that I can do it. And step three is trust. We decide to trust God with our lives and wills by accepting his grace through Jesus Christ. I just want to submit to you that if you're in a pit, and if the Lord just uses this message to just convict you and to open your eyes that, man, I'm just tired. I am alone. And I've been struggling with this thing for a long time, and I'm tired. That's actually the beginning of freedom right there. Just give up. It's okay. And in our self-centered, type A, driving North American, get it done, pull yourself by the bootstraps tradition, many of us just refuse to go there. We refuse to humble ourselves and admit that we can't do it alone. But that's where the Holy Spirit is lead. That the path of life runs through redemption and this acknowledgement that, Jesus, I need you to get me out of my pit. I want to give you another resource. Is that? I'm sorry. Oh, I missed the slide. Sorry. So I'm not going to give you the resource. So, but it would have been good. It's a book named Seven Desires by Bill Lasser. Do you remember the name? Last name is Lasser, L-A-S-S-E-R. It's called Seven Desires. It's basically just this reality that we all have seven God-given desires that can only be fulfilled in Him. The reason we find ourselves in pits is because we try to fix ourselves. We try to fulfill our desires in ways of the world and not on the only thing that can ultimately fulfill all of our desires, which is God. But God offers redemption from the pit. So God redeems our lives from the pit. Next, He crowns us with love and mercy. And I love this. Because we're pit people, right? We're prodigal people. Go back and read the story of the prodigal son. This man got all uppity and said, "Father, I'm done doing it your way. Give me my inheritance. I'm going to go do it on my own." And man, he went and did it, didn't he? Oh, he was living high on the hog for a while. He was having fun. He was partying with like the top dogs. I mean, he was in the in crowd. He took that money and he fulfilled every one of his desires, so he thought, until the day where reality smacks him upside the head and he finds himself in a pig pen. He's so hungry and destitute that he's looking at the slop that he's feeding the pigs and he says, "Man, that looks pretty good." This is what pits look like. We find ourselves in these dysfunctional places that we honestly shake our heads like, "How did I end up here?" If you have a reality in your life where you're just like, "I don't even know how I got here, but this is so dysfunctional and broken," that's okay. This is the path of life runs right through our pits because He crowns us with love and mercy. In the story of the prodigal son, that son, his eyes were open. He finally hits rock bottom and he says, "You know what? I'm going to go back home because you know what? It would be better for me to be a slave in my father's house than what I'm doing here." And he heads back home. And the scripture says the most amazing thing. It says that while he was still a long way off, the father did an amazing thing. He sees him and he runs to him. He doesn't even let him get there to grovel. The father himself goes to him and he runs to him and he meets them there. He puts a cloak on him. He puts a ring on his finger and he says, "I love you. Let's throw a party. Let's rejoice because my son who I thought was lost, he's found." I want you to know that anyone that turns to Christ is a new creation. I want you to know the very second you put your faith in Jesus, you are adopted as a son or a daughter of the King. And when he adopts you, he places a crown on you. The dignity of our lives that we throw away, he gives it back to us. And he puts a crown on our heads. And some of you, in the guilt and the fear and the shame that you're living in, you can't even imagine this. Isn't it? I mean, it defies logic. It defies every normal relational mode that we've ever grown up in. We've grown up in a world where you have to earn it. And God just says, no, you can't earn it. You're so broken, bro. Like, you cannot earn this, but I can do it for you. And all it takes is faith. And when we believe in Him, He puts a crown on our head. In the midst of our pits and hiding places, God chose us to be adopted as sons and daughters. This adoption allows God to place a crown of royalty on our heads that is symbolized with His steadfast love and the mercy that He lavishes on us in grace, even when we are in times of great struggle and disobedience. So I can say with all faith, really as a declaration that is anointed with the Holy Spirit, I don't care how broken you are. I don't care of how dark of a place you are in. I don't care where you've come from. He will adopt you. He will pick you up. He will put a new song in your heart. He will transform you and renew your mind through His Word. He will heal you from all the wounds and the brokenness and all the self-inflicted wounds that you've given to yourself and all the scars and the lashes of wounds that you've received from others. He will clean all those up. He'll put a crown on your head, and He will call you His son or daughter. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. And the reason He forgives, the reason He heals, the reason He redeems, and the reason He crowns is so that He can satisfy. He satisfies us with good. Thank you, Lord. There's only one path to complete and total satisfaction. And here's the amazing thing about the grace of God. You ever been up in the mountains? You know the switchbacks? You know, you ever been going up a mountain? And you know when you're walking on a steep hill and you get the switchbacks? Where do your kids always want to go? They want to go straight up. And it occurred to me, because on the path of life that we're on, we still mess up, right? We still choose the wrong path. We deviate from the path of life. Here's the cool thing about the grace of God. He'll always make the straight path through the switchback to get right back on that path. And so if you find yourself now, you know you're walking down that path of darkness, and you're saying, okay, God, I want to get back on track. I just want you to realize that the only thing that can truly satisfy you is Him. Anything else we attempt to insert into our lives to fill and satisfy our deepest longings will always fall short. Here's what we do. Jeremiah 2:13. This is very powerful. It says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Guys, come out of the pit. Doesn't matter how much water, how much stucco, spackle you put on that broken cistern of your life. It's never going to hold water. He wants to pull you out of the broken cistern because he says, anyone who believes in me, out of him are going to flow springs of living water. He wants to give you new water every day that comes from the source of his Holy Spirit. Oh, there's seven desires. I put it in the wrong spot. So you want to be heard and understood, affirmed, blessed, safe, touched, chosen, included. It's a good book. Read it. Guys, here's the exclamation point, the bow on the present. We're going to come and sing some more Christmas carols, I think. The reason that God chose to forgive, heal, redeem, and crown us is so that he can accomplish his ultimate plan to satisfy our deepest desires. And so I start where we began. There's two paths. Mike inspired me when he read Shakespeare a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to read some Robert Frost to you. The road not taken. Two roads diverged in the yellow wood. And sorry I cannot travel both and be one traveler long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. In the last stanza, I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. There's a path that leads to life. If you're on the path that leads to death, there's a way out. The path of life runs directly through the cross. I pray that God will give you the faith and the obedience. I pray that he'll surround you with a community that can help you walk the path of life because none of us can do it alone. That's what his body is all about. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the realities of salvation, justification, redemption, adoption. This glorious doctrine that saves us from the pit. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all the things that we have available to us through him. Give us faith to believe and accept and walk the path of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.